I'm Nora Sutz, and I'm 71 years old, and it pains me to say that. Today is Friday, the 17th of December in the year 2021, and I'm at Tallahassee, Florida, and I'm here with my daughter, Rachel Sutz.
Okay. I am Rachel Sutz-Pienta, and I am 49, about to be 50 in February, which is hard to believe. Yeah, and it is December 17th, 2021, and I am here in Tallahassee, Florida with my mom, Nora Lynn Sutz, and I think that was it. Yeah.
All right, so
I'm going to ask some questions, but Mom, I think I would, if you have any questions you want to ask, if you want to look at the sheet or if you have something that pops in your head, the first question that I would like to have, because I think I've heard bits and pieces, but I've never really heard a complete story. Mm-hmm. I want to hear the story of how you met Dad.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah, I do.
I was working at the local telephone company where I was born in Middletown, New York. And there was a young man there who was also working. He was, I forget what department he was in. And I started seeing him, and he rented a room in a house on Orchard Street that the downstairs was a coffee house, and the coffee house was run by your father. And that's how I met your father. I dumped the other guy and started seeing your father.
Okay.
Which was okay, because the other guy was a real jerk.
what was the jerk's name?
His first name was Marty. I don't even remember what his last name was.
Okay.
You met him several times when you were little.
Oh.
And then he moved someplace. He moved to Texas. I don't know where he went after that.
Oh, that's funny. Wow. What, did you break his heart?
No.
No, okay.
Trust me, it was okay.
Okay. Next question. Mm-hmm. What is your fondest or favorite childhood memory?
Oh. That's hard.
If you have more than one, that's fine.
Probably one of my favorite ones is when one summer, Ami and grandfather and Aunt Jean and her husband, they rented a cabin on a lake, and it was local. I mean, you know, it wasn't like we could go away very far because of the farm. And everybody went with the kids, and we stayed there overnight, and you'd go swimming in the lake and just playing and stuff. And one of my cousins and I, we got into a fight. We got into trouble. And so our punishment was we had to go back to the farm to grandma's house, and we had the best day. We just ran everywhere, and we played in the pond, and we went to the barn, and we rode the horses, and we just did it. It was the best day we had.
Which cousin was it?
I think it was my cousin Pat.
Okay.
I think it was the two of us. And so then, you know, we went back that night, and they went, and so I'm, we went, oh, it was terrible. We cried. We just like had the best time.
That's awesome. I love it. That's great.
I mean, just being a kid growing up on a farm and just being able to run around in the fields and being in the barn and with the animals and going out in the garden and that kind of stuff. Those are all favorite memories. Miss those times.
Yeah, I could understand that for sure. What is your favorite memory of Dad?
Oh, probably when he walked you down the aisle wearing sandals.
That's pretty funny.
And everybody, all the ushers were all jealous because they didn't realize that sandals were an option.
That was an option, yeah.
Which it wasn't, but
you know. No, but he didn't care. He did it anyway. What is your favorite memory of Sarah?
Oh. That's hard. Past that.
Okay. I know. It's hard for me, too. Let's see. If you could jump in a time machine and go back to when you were making decisions about like what you were going to do with your life, is there a point where if you could make a different decision and take a different road, you might, and what would it have been?
Maybe I would have pursued funding and getting school loans and actually becoming a veterinarian.
Oh, you would have been a good veterinarian.
That was kind of like what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But at the time, it wasn't a viable option.
Sure. Yeah.
So I settled on becoming a nurse, which was good.
Yeah. I think you were good at it.
I think so. I enjoyed it.
If you'd been a veterinarian, you might have even more animals.
Well, this is true.
If you won the lottery this week, mm-hmm. what would you do?
Give you the money to pay off your student loans.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Buy a house on the beach. Probably get more dogs.
Somehow I knew that was part of it.
I don't know. Probably give some to my sisters. Because you and Aiden would get the rest, so.
But that's a good plan. We need to buy the lottery tickets.
Yeah, right. That would help.
I know, exactly.
What about you? What if you won the lottery? What would you do?
Well, definitely pay off those student loans. I would buy a larger property. Mm-hmm. I would give you an option of what you wanted to do. And let Dave figure out what he wants to do. I might still keep working for a while. I don't think he would.
I'm sure he wouldn't. He would probably play.
He would play. So I would probably work at least another year while I figured stuff out mm-hmm. to decide like what I really wanted to do. And then probably figure out how to make the money grow in a foundation so I could play as a philanthropist.
Oh, okay.
And then get involved in some causes and also try to use some money to influence public policy on some issues.
That would be good.
So that would be my plan.
Okay.
All right. If you could take a trip anywhere in the world, where would you want to go and why?
Oh. Anywhere in the world? Probably Australia.
Okay.
Because I would love to go across the vast interior where they have their big farms
yeah.
that are millions and millions of acres with nothing, no people around. Just to see the country, just to see what it's like.
I'd like to see a koala in person. That could be neat.
Okay. We could go to the zoo and do that.
Yeah, I know, but it's different. Like, if you see them, like, you know, you're just like, they're out in their natural habitat. I mean, that's mm-hmm. where they live, right?
I believe so.
That's what I think, so. Yeah. But Australia. It's a long plane ride. But, yeah, Australia
yes,
would be
is.
Cool to see. That would be neat.
Kangaroos. I'd like to see kangaroos.
Yes.
Could see them at a zoo, too.
Yeah, but still, again, different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Is there anything, like if family members were to listen to this recording, especially like our, you know, younger family members, whether it's Aiden or any of your nieces or nephews, is there anything that you'd want to pass on to them to have them remember?
I don't know, because there's such an age disconnect from what I could tell one set to what I could tell the other.
Okay.
To remember.
Well, you're not limited.
No, I know. I just think I'd like Aiden to remember Ami, your grandmother. Mm. She died in 2012?
12, yeah.
So he was 9 or 10 when she died.
Yeah.
For Danielle and Alicia, I think it would be they would remember grandfather and Ami.
Mm.
Timothy would remember Ami.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would remember grandfather.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
He's 25?
I don't think he wasn't alive when 19. Grandfather was born.
Grandfather died in Daddy died in 1989.
I was in high school.
So no, Timothy wasn't born, so he wouldn't remember him. Just stories and pictures that we show. Just to go back through the albums and look at the pictures and ask questions, and it's kind of hard because we're kind of like getting down to the last few, and there's not going to be anybody to pass it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
I actually was reading the paper from Middletown the other day, because I read it every morning, and there was an obituary in there of one of my third or fourth cousins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, pretty soon, there's not going to be any of us left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think.
You know, you go by where the houses used to be and the barns used to be, and all of that stuff is gone. And it's like ancient history. So all you have is word of mouth.
Yeah.
And then when we're gone, they really don't have any sense of what it was like, yeah, other than what we told them.
Right. And what they came from. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff has already changed a lot when I came along, and it was, you know, not that far removed from when there was a larger farm and all that. Yes.
Can you describe a little bit about what it was like growing up on the farm and who was there?
Oh, sure. It was my paternal grandparents, and they lived in the main house. And I actually, as a baby, my dad and mom and I lived in the main house until I was probably about 2 or 3, and they had property set aside, and they built a house about a mile up the road from the main house. And my aunt and uncle had a house that was further up, and they had, I'm the oldest of 4 girls, and my aunt and uncle lived further up, about 4 miles up the road. And they had 7 kids. And they eventually sold that house and moved closer down on the corner. And then further down, the barn. And we had, we started out with a little over 100 acres. And eventually it got winnowed down. You know, the state came through and eminent domain and took property to enlarge a highway.
So, question, when I was alive, there was still 100 acres. There was more acreage before that highway went through.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go back to when there was the dairy, how many acres were there?
Oh, I don't know. There was a lot.
What year did the highway go through?
Well, you're talking about 84 on the side.
The one
I'm talking about originally in 17.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then later on, the federal government came through and took property.
Okay.
And put in 84 that ran alongside between our house and Disselberger's.
Okay.
That came later.
So I was thinking, so the highway that was next to what eventually became Aunt Shelley's house.
That's 84.
That's 84. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shelley is one of my sisters, and she and her husband bought my parents' house when my parents moved into the original farmhouse to take care of my grandfather before he passed away. At that point, we no longer had cows. We got out of the farming business when I was about 13 or 14. We, first of all, very difficult to make a living to support three families. My uncle had an outside job, aside from the farm. My aunt had an outside job. My mother had an outside job. My grandmother had an outside job. And she worked that job until she was 75, and she only left it because the manager at the store said the front office has finally figured out you're no longer 65 after the 10th time we told them you were.
Where was she working?
She worked uptown in J.J. Newberry's.
Was that Grandma Garrison?
Yep.
Did she work at the Holiday Inn?
And then she went to work down at the Holiday Inn in the laundry. She always had a second job.
I was going to say, I think...
Because my father and my grandfather were the ones that worked full-time on the farm.
Okay.
And kept everything going while everybody else had an outside job and then came back to work at the farm.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm the oldest of four girls, and my aunt and uncle had seven kids. So it's hard to raise families. There wasn't any money. Government subsidies were crap. Price of milk was not great. And then, and I didn't realize this until many years later, and it was when my father told me in passing that they bought some cows that were infected with brucellosis.
Oh.
And that was it. They ended up losing everything. Mm-hmm. So then they just sat with all that property. And they started piecemealing, selling it off pieces and pieces. And then they sold to that shyster.
Well, that was later, though. So when I was a little girl, I remember when they decided to have a horse barn.
Because my father bought my mother a horse. She always wanted a horse. And then they got into horses.
Mm-hmm. So I remember when the big barn was built.
They built a big pole barn. Mm-hmm.
Well, then they closed it in, though. So mm-hmm. So because the selling to the shyster didn't happen until after they retired and decided to get out of the horse business.
That may be, yeah, the timeline. No, Grandma and Grandpa were still alive, I think, when they were.
So, which property we're talking about. Like, the entire property that was sold was sold before they retired to go to Florida.
Yeah.
And that was what took so long to get the money from.
Yeah, well, they never did get the money. They got part of the money. They didn't get it all. They lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was after Grandma and Grandpa died.
So part of the property, I remember part of the property next to Everett and Jean was sold for a doctor's office
mm-hmm.
at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was maybe a little earlier before everything was sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he had big plans, you know, he was going to put in this big office building behind where Shelley and Mark had that property back in there and was going to do this and then he was going to do that and it all, you know, he defaulted on everything.
Ugh.
It was a mess. And now the property, I don't know, I'm sure that I would recognize it, but, you know, now there's a huge hospital that sits there.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't been down that street since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I had another question I was immediately going to go to, and now it's gone out of my head because I'm thinking about that. Well, I think I would like to hear about some memories of your grandparents, my great-grandparents. So,
well, my mother's parents, they immigrated from Germany before World War II. My grandfather came over first. He was sponsored by a cousin that was already here. And they saved up money, and then my grandmother came over.
So they were already married?
I believe they got married after they got here.
But they knew each other, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And he worked as a chef, and she worked as a waitress and whatever. When I was growing up, for a while, they had a chicken farm.
I remember people talking about the chicken
farm. And that was actually that just behind the house where Aunt Jean and Uncle Everett lived. It was just down the drive, and that was where their chicken farm was.
Oh.
Yeah, and in front of them on the other side, if you're standing there facing, standing on the road and looking, here's Aunt Jean's house. Uh-huh. There's a little piece of property, like a little piece of lawn, a long driveway, and down there is the White House, and that was where Grandma and Grandpa Handler lived, with the big stone building, chicken farm, and there was a bridge across the creek in the back where there was another big building with chickens.
Wait, what about Margaret and Don's house?
But when you went, you came back up the driveway, the next house over that sat in front of the big stone building, that was where Margaret and Don lived.
Okay, because I remember Margaret and Don going there for some, hanging out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She used to babysit you sometimes for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who are Margaret and Don? Oh, I'm sorry. Margaret, Aunt Margaret was my mother's sister, and Don was her husband. I apologize. And they lived in that house with, and his mother, Grandma Josie, lived with them.
Oh, I don't remember her.
You don't remember her? Yeah, little Grandma Josie. She was a pistol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, that was the Handlers then, that side.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about the Garrisons?
Grandma Garrison's family immigrated from Germany. The oldest sister was Anna. She was already born. I believe on the way over here, Aunt Alma was born on the boat.
Oh, wow.
Grandma was born here.
Okay.
And her maiden name was Vaught, and she had brothers. I think she had brothers. Grandpa, I don't know. Grandpa's parents died, and they all kind of got... See, I don't know a lot about Grandpa's history. I just know his parents died, or his father died, and so he had one sister, and I believe he had four brothers, and they all got farmed out to relatives, and they kind of lost touch with each other for a long time. They didn't see each other, because that's what you did in those days when, you didn't have anybody to take care of you, and so you had to farm your kids out too. So he grew up with Earl Hawk, who was a cousin. I don't remember Earl and Ethel.
Okay, I remember the name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he grew up with Earl's family, and they all worked together. Now, how Grandma and Grandpa met, I have no idea. I do know that they rented that property that they eventually bought and we lived on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember at one point your dad having a conversation with Lisa's dad and figuring out they had family in common.
Yeah, somewhere along the line.
It was a Hawkins, a great grandma or great grandma Hawkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of them. It's woodpile.
Yeah.
Second, third, fourth cousins removed. And Lisa actually was. We were married and lived in Bloomingburg, and she moved in with her family next door to us. And then she became your best friend, and somehow we ended up finding out that we were all actually related, and you were cousins, and you and she were ecstatic.
Yeah. as were some of the other cousins. They were like, she's our cousin.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
So, and if I remember the story correct, the relative we had in common was actually the one who gave us Native American ancestry, according to what I remember as a kid.
And that may be. There's a lot of things that are very murky.
Okay.
And I don't know if your Aunt Beth is doing a lot of genealogy. If she knows any of that, you'd have to ask her about that. She's more into that. I just know that it's there.
Okay.
It was a New York tribe. I want to say Esopus. Sounds right.
The Esopus were definitely in that area.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, you'd have to ask her.
Okay.
She might be able to fill in those blanks or point you in the right direction.
Okay. What do you remember about Dad's family?
They came from a town in Poland that was wiped out, no longer exists. His family went to Israel before it was Israel.
Oh.
And her family.
Which, like, so that was.
Okay, Grandpa so Meyer's his, family.
So his, okay, Grandpa Meyer's family.
And
okay.
then Grandma Julia. And they were cousins, by the way.
Really?
I believe they were a third or fourth cousins.
Oh, God, it was only third or fourth.
They, her family went to Canada.
Oh, okay.
And then came over the border through Detroit. I remember them talking about that.
Oh, okay.
And then his family from Israel came to New York. Mm. And somehow they ended up in, they all ended up meeting in New York. And then, you know, they got married and they had their grocery stores downtown in Brooklyn. And, you know, you look at pictures of them. There used to be, I don't even know if we have them anymore, pictures where you see Grandpa standing outside his store wearing his fedora and his overcoat. And he looks like, you know, his joke used to be he was a member of the Jewish mafia. I would just shake my head. I did ask him one time, when we were talking, I said, when you came from Israel and you came to Ellis Island and they asked you your name, did they change your name? Did they change your last name? He said, no, that's always what it was.
I have found Sutzes all over the world. So I would say that's probably accurate because mm-hmm. I've found it in other countries and including some that, you know, obviously some people fled to Latin America because there are several...
Yes.
People working at universities down in Latin America.
One of Grandpa Rate's sisters went to Argentina, was in Argentina.
Yeah.
When they fled from Europe.
Yeah, so there's still Sutzes down there. Like, I see them come up, like, on academic searches. Like, mm-hmm. there's a couple of professors down
really?
There.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's, on the Piente side... There's some there too as well, which mm-hmm. is really funny when you're doing like I have alerts set for when people cite my work,
uh-huh.
and then it'll come up and it's like either you know oh that's not that I'm different Sutz or different Pienta, so but it's funny when that comes up I'm like yeah. Okay what did they write, like there's some that are in some serious hard sciences
right.
like biology and medicine and stuff,
and it's hard with your father's side of the family because your father's because Grandma Anita was so. Disconnected,
right.
and didn't do any, didn't converse or have any kind of collegial. That's probably not the right word. Interaction.
Mm.
His parents didn't approve of her. I think they abided her.
Yeah.
And then when his father died, and she. They lost total touch. They didn't, you know. I think the first time they saw your father was when he called them and said we were, and took me to introduce them when they were at their summer house in Ellenville.
Oh.
And I was known as the Shiksa.
They were at the wedding?
Yes.
They were at the wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they came.
Oh, so uh-huh. they introduced before the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was the Shiksa. But I learned, you know, this is the dishes for the meat, and this is the dishes for the dairy. And never the twain shall meet. I remember the time you asked them if you could, we were sitting at the table having a meat meal, and you wanted butter for something, and I was like, you can't have that. Thought Grandma was going to have a coronary. Oh, do you remember the money tree?
Yes, I do remember the money tree. I do. Scar, you know, it ruined me for life.
It did. I mean, you know.
Why doesn't money grow on trees?
Exactly.
I don't understand. At Grandma and Grandpa's house, it does.
Yes. Your uncle spoiled the crap out of you and your cousins when you were up there.
Good memories.
Yes.
Good memories. Yes. about 10 minutes left.
Okay. Really?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And they're all gone now, too.
Yeah.
They're all gone now. Just your cousins all up in Long Island in New Jersey.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, yeah, so disconnected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this entire, that entire side of the family just is so disconnected is the word from this side of the family. They have no clue. I mean.
Yeah. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess, you know, families are complex things, right?
I would venture to say that's a good statement.
I'm looking at these questions to see, like, what we want to end with.
Well, what's your favorite memory growing up?
That is really hard. Yeah. I am. Stuff from our house in Bloomingburg pops up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Christmas mornings were, and being just like in that living room, just like as a family,
mm-hmm.
and the backyard, and just there's just a lot in that house where we just made a lot of memories,
mm-hmm.
and like all of us together, like all four of us together. So
you and your sister being punished by being sent to your rooms. And then you would open your closet doors and sit there and talk to each other because your room's connected.
Yeah.
That was not exactly punishment.
No, not really, no.
Or being sent to your rooms and saying, being told, your sister being told, you cannot turn your TV on and you cannot turn your stereo on. And you must each sit on your bed and be quiet for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so just like anytime all four of us were together,
mm-hmm.
like whether we were like having a family dinner or like in the living room or Christmas mornings were just really cool. Just to
even though you made fun of your Charlie Brown tree.
I loved that Charlie Brown tree. It was fun to make fun of it. I have very fond memories of the Charlie Brown tree. Yeah. But like just to go open up stockings with Sarah before you guys got up.
Oh, Sarah getting up early and separating the presents.
I don't know what that was about.
You noticed you all got the same amount.
You know, I don't know that I noticed. I don't know that I was really thinking about that. Evidently, she was. though I do remember, she wasn't awake yet and I opened my stocking and I opened the stuff and I opened it really carefully and then I rewrapped it so that I could open it again with her. I think I only did that once, but I remember doing that.
I'm surprised it didn't wake her up.
I know. Cause usually she was up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But I did that so that I could do it again with her, but I was up before everybody. So I was like, I'm going to look at my stocking.
I think remembering the one time. She was, your dad did a video, and it was in Bloomingburg, and we had the birds.
Oh, my God. Her pulling the bird's tails.
Remember for the bird to sing?
Yeah, sing, birdie, sing.
Oh, God. That was so funny.
That was hilarious. Yeah. And then she got caught on video.
No, I didn't do that. Yes, you did.
No wonder the bird doesn't have any tail feathers. Oh, gosh. I remember Dad making crazy videos. Like when he made the president, he did stop action with the president so it looked like they were flying across the floor under the tree.
Oh, God.
Because, like, you know, you're at work
uh-huh.
and he's bored and we're in bed. He's just going to, like, figure out ways to occupy himself.
Nothing to do, so, yeah.
Like, I'm just going to make stop action video.
Like, there were 12 million things he could do, but he didn't want to do those.
Right. There's obviously things he could have done.
Cleaned up the kitchen. You could have put the stuff away, but no, it's all right.
Remember when he decided to do the dishes in the dishwasher with the wrong detergent?
Oh, geez.
That was awesome. Bubbles everywhere.
Oh, my God.
The floor got mopped.
I know. I was supposed to give him kudos because he at least tried.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello? Oh, wow.
I learned that what kind of type of soap you put in the dishwasher matters.
Exactly. Yeah, that was his comment. I didn't realize you had different soap for different things.
Like if you
well, you couldn't read the container. It's a dish soap.
If you helped with household chores.
Yeah, well, let's not even go there. That lasted up until he died.
Yeah.
I can make a mess in the kitchen and you can clean it up.
That's I think that was his understanding of the partnership.
To make dinner, I must use every pot in the cabinet.
Yes. He did make some interesting concoctions.
Yes, he did.
I remember him trying to bake me a birthday cake because there was a snow day and my birthday got canceled at school. And
that was when there was a blizzard and I ended up staying at Karen Patel's house.
Yes.
Because I couldn't get home.
Couldn't get home.
That's right.
And so it was. So he was like, okay, I'm going to make you a birthday cake.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chocolate chip birthday cake. And
at least he tried.
He tried. No, it was, but it was, he, I guess it broke when he got it out of the pan. So he kind of glued it back together mm-hmm. with the icing, but it was really good cake.
Yeah,
it was.
It was the thought that counted.
It was the thought that counted. So he tried. It was excellent cake. Well, what?
And he took you everywhere when he did his magic stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
How many people you met, where
lots
you went.
People. I have great memories of going places with Dad, and yes. It was definitely like, I think I credit a lot of what I've used a lot of what I learned with him in my life over the years. That's one thing, like if I could, I really miss not being able to like tell him things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily miss arguing.
Well, that was part of telling him things.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's kind of like, you know, I do stuff now and I'm like, Dad would hate that.
Mm-hmm.
He would be pissed off about that. He wouldn't agree with me.
But then remember, that's Dad's side of the family.
Yeah.
No matter what you did, it was always an argument.
Yeah.
No matter what.
True.
How many times did he start a phone call with his sister and start an argument and hang up?
Yeah.
Or she would fly to visit us and he'd throw her out in the middle of the night.
True.
I mean, you know. Always an argument about something.
Yeah. But there's things where I imagine like, oh, he would have liked that. This would have given him, you know,
mm-hmm.
some joy or pleasure. And it's like, hopefully it is still.
I'm sure.
So any last thoughts or questions? No,
I don't think so. I think we talked a lot.
I think we did.
I think we're good.
Well, I was afraid of making you cry, and you made me cry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
Crying is part of it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Remembering things.